gear, all that. So you can actually even print the item from your computer at home or work. AvaBellaDaySpa.com. That's AvaBellaDaySpa.com. Or call them at 501-954-8888. The Broyles Award, underway. Here we go.
And his team in the first ever college football playoff against Florida State.
Scott Frost, University of Oregon.
Ram, 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 ram. Get set. Get set. Wait. Johnny's not set.
Scott Frost directs the most efficient and opportunistic offense in the country. This season, his Duck offense leads the country in passing efficiency offense. Also ranks first in fewest turnovers, only 7. Third in scoring offense, 46 points a game. Fifth in total offense, 5th in points off turnovers, 5th in third down conversion percentage, 14th in passing offense, and they lead the Pac-12 in rushing. In all but one game this season, Oregon scored at least 40 points. They broke the 50-point barrier 5 times and went over the 60-point mark once. Frost's offense piled up those stats despite losing its top returning receiver before the start of the season and utilizing an offensive line that has flourished despite injuries. They used 6 different starting combinations on the line, with no player starting all 11 games at his original position. His quarterback, Marcus Mariota, leads the country in passing efficiency, quarterback rating, and yards per pass attempt. In addition to being ranked 3rd in passing touchdowns, 5th in total offense, 8th in completion percentage, and 9th in passing yards per completion. Frost's Oregon offense also features one of the Pac-12's best backs. Royce Freeman is 9th in the country in rushing touchdowns and 5th in the Pac-12 in rushing. 17 years after leading Nebraska to a perfect record, Scott Frost is back in the national spotlight. Oregon's Scott Frost is a Broyles Award finalist.
Thank you. Before I get started, can I get a copy of that from someone? Thank you so much for being here. I feel honored and honestly not worthy of being here. Like Coach Narduzzi said, we're here because of the success of our teams. And the most important thing as a coach is to make a difference in the lives of young people. And we get a chance to do that every day. You know, we're here because we've been successful, but there's so many great coaches out there at the college level and other levels that do a great job with that. And to be one of the few people that gets a chance to be here for this award, like I said, I kind of feel unworthy of that. I want to thank you guys. People of Arkansas live up to the Southern hospitality and the friendliness that you hear about all over, except for one guy. Our cab driver last night on the way to the Clinton Library was a little different. He looked at me and he said, "You look like a football coach." And I said, "Well, that's because I am a football coach." And, you know, I had Pat and Steck in the car with me, and he said, "Do you want to hear my joke about a football coach?" And I said, "Yeah, but before you tell me that, these two big guys are football coaches too. Are you sure you still want to tell the joke?" And he looked at me and he looked at him and he looked at Steck and he said, "Yeah, probably not. I don't want to have to explain the joke 3 times." Listen, you know, we're here because our team's had great years. I'm only here because of what other people have done. My dad was a high school football coach, head coach for 30 years, Larry. My mother, Carol, was an assistant high school football coach for 29 years. So I got it early. I'm here because learned a lot from Lane's dad, one of my stops along the way. One of his assistants, Raheem Morris, talked me into coaching at the beginning of my career. Mark Farley gave me a chance at Northern Iowa when I was with your own Chris Bucknum, the head track coach at Arkansas. Thank you for being here, Bucky. Chip Kelly gave me a chance. Mark Helfrich believed in me. That's why I'm here. I'm here because of the rest of the staff at Oregon, the great players we have. I'm here because of Marcus Mariota, honestly. Quick story about Marcus Mariota. People ask me about him all the time, and he's such a great player, but his best attribute is how quick-witted he is. People don't know this, but his freshman year, he worked at a grocery store in town to kind of pay the extra bills. And he was at the register one day, and this great big woman comes in, and she said, "I'd like to buy a half a head of lettuce." And he kind of looked at her funny, said, "We don't sell half heads, only whole heads." And she got all mad. And So he walked into the back to ask the manager what he should do, and he said, "Hey, I got this great big fat woman out here that wants to buy half a head of lettuce. What should I do?" And he didn't know it, but the woman had followed him back there. So he looks over his shoulder and he sees her standing there, and he said, "And this lady wants to buy the other half." So that's how quick-witted it is. And the manager told him afterwards, the manager said, that was impressive. I can't believe you could think that quickly on your feet." And he goes, "That was nothing. I'm used to dealing with stuff like that." He goes, "I'm from Honolulu. If there's two things we have in Honolulu, it's great football and fat women." And the manager said, "My wife's from Honolulu." And he said, "Well, what position does she play?" So that's not true, by the way. No, I'm honored to be here. Thanks so much to Coach Broyles and this award. Like I said, I don't feel like I'm deserving, because I'm only here because of what other people have done. But thank you so much for your hospitality and appreciate everything.
I guess if this football thing doesn't work out, stand-up comedian is in the cards for you, Scott. Thank you very much. Our next finalist is Tom Herman from Ohio State. Tom was born in Cincinnati, Ohio, but was raised in Simi Valley, California. He played football at the powerhouse California Lutheran University in Thousand Oaks. But make no mistake about this, Coach Herman cut his coaching teeth in the state of Texas. Starting at Texas Lutheran University, then as a two-year grad assistant at Texas, then as his assistant at Sam Houston State, Texas State, and Rice. All along the way, producing record-breaking offenses. And he did the same thing at Iowa State when he was hired there. So it wasn't a big surprise when Urban Meyer got the job at Ohio State that he chose Tom Herman to be his offensive coordinator. And for the third season in a row, with Tom as the offensive coordinator for the Buckeyes, the offenses have been ranked some of the best in the country. But no season has tested an offensive coordinator like this year. And coaches always preach about backups being ready at all times, and the team having a next man up attitude, if you've heard that before, when it comes to losing players to injuries. But when it happens to a quarterback, that's a whole new ball game, especially when that first stringer is a Heisman candidate at the beginning of the year. Well, not only did Coach Herman have to deal with that, with his second-string quarterback, the second-string quarterback goes in, and he goes on to have a Heisman-type year, Heisman-worthy season at least. And we all know the rest of the story. That quarterback goes down, and the next man up attitude has to go to the third-string quarterback. And it was applied again, and what kind of results were they? Right before the Big Ten Championships, a result so dominating that it propelled Ohio State into the national championship playoff. Let's hear more about the remarkable job done this season by Tom Herman.
Tom Herman, the Ohio State University.
Competitive excellence, empower the unit. Be Baker unit proud.
Losing your starting quarterback weeks before the season opener can be traumatic for most teams. Losing two-time MVP quarterback and Heisman Trophy candidate Braxton Miller just 12 days before their opening game could have been devastating for Ohio State. What took place over the next 3 months has some calling Ohio State offensive coordinator Tom Herman the quarterback whisperer. Under Herman's direction, untested redshirt freshman quarterback JT Barrett put up Braxton Miller-type numbers. Barrett threw for almost 2,700 yards and 33 touchdowns and ran for 849 yards and 8 touchdowns. Barrett was on track to smash several Big Ten season records when his season ended with an injury during the Buckeyes' regular season finale. Enter Cardale Jones. The Buckeyes' third-team quarterback threw for 257 yards and 3 scores in Ohio State's 57-0 rout of Wisconsin. Herman's Buckeye offense is ranked 4th in scoring, 45 points a game. 8th in total offense, 507 yards a game. And 10th in rushing offense, 260 yards a game. Today, the Broyles Award Committee honors the quarterback whisperer, Broyles Award finalist Tom Herman of Ohio State.
I'm with Scott. I need to get that and show that to my wife. Maybe she'll think a little bit more of me. But
You know, I am. It's a surreal experience. As you know, my last 48, 72 hours have been pretty hectic. And so my wife was driving me to the airport. And, you know, I'm a guy that played, like David said, at the big powerhouse, Cal Lutheran University. I'm a Division III guy that spent most of his coaching career in the 1AA ranks and kind of tried to work my way up as best I could. And so my wife is driving me to the airport on Sunday. And, you know, I was born in Cincinnati, Ohio. My whole family's there. But I didn't get to grow up in the state of Ohio. I grew up in Southern California. And it took me 30 years to get back to Ohio State, a dream job, some might say. I would say. And so we're driving to the airport. I look at my wife and us coaches don't take enough time to reflect. And I took a deep breath. We're going to the airport. I got to go recruit. I got to go to the Broyles deal, come back, go recruit some more. And just a whirlwind. We had just won the Big Ten championship with our third string quarterback. And I looked at her and I said, Michelle, in your wildest dreams, did you ever think that I would be coaching at Ohio State and be a finalist for the Broyles Award? And she looked at me and she said, Tom, you're not in my wildest dreams. So, which I'm probably not, to be honest with you. But I will tell you this, I do want to thank the Broyles Award, all the committees. Jeff, you've done a great job. Thank Delta Dental and the Rotary Club of Arkansas. They told me that I needed to tell you a little bit about me, and the first thing is that I'm honored to be a part of this group of finalists. These are guys, aside from Steck, since he's a defensive guy, the other guys, and in all seriousness, Steck, this applies to you too, buddy. These are guys I look up to. These are guys that in the off season I try to study. These are guys that you go to work every day and you try to live up to some of the things that they've done. And so I'm honored and thank you guys for welcoming me into that fraternity. They wanted me to say a little bit about myself and tell you a little bit about myself. I am the only child of a single mom. I didn't really have a dad in my life. He was kind of in and out of my life. And so to tell you how impactful coaching is in my life, I know, Pat, you spoke of your dad last year and his influence. Well, I'm going to tell you about my mom and her influence. The fact that here's a woman that didn't graduate college till she was 45 years old. In fact, she graduated from Cal Lutheran the same day I did. We got to walk across the stage together. And yet I never wanted for anything in my life. She is my hero, my role model. And I'm sure that a psychologist would probably tell you that the reason I'm coaching today is because of the coaches that I had in my life. They were the male role models. They were the guys that I could go to, and they were all great examples of great men, husbands, leaders, community members. And I just wanted to be so much like all the coaches that I had growing up and throughout high school. And I would be remiss if I did not thank my wife, Michelle. Even though she told me I wasn't in her wildest dreams, I'm still going to thank her. She is the rock of our household. She couldn't be here today. We've got an 11-year-old daughter, a 7-year-old son, and we have a 1-year-old son as well. And if it didn't look so much like me, I might begin to wonder, since we're not home very often. But thank God he does look like me. But and if my surgeon is as good as he says he is, I won't be having any more. I promise you that. But. So she's back at home. She travels to all our road games, so she needed to be home with our family. So when we got into this business, she was my sugar mama, I like to say. She stayed back in Southern California while I chased my dream. My first job was at Texas Lutheran, a Division III school, making $5,000 a year. But I got a meal card, which was nice. And then I was a graduate assistant, and then I thought I really hit the big time. I got a 1AA. Full-time position job. I coached the wide receivers at Sam Houston State for $10,000 a year. So she was my sugar mama. She was my rock. I did not make, I think it was $40,000 until I had turned 30. And so she would send money. Even when we weren't married, she sent money from California to help me pay rent. We got married. She stayed in L.A. because that's where her job was. And I was in Huntsville, Texas. She had her MBA her undergraduate degree in accounting, an MBA in finance, living in Manhattan Beach, California. And we get married, and I decide to move her to Huntsville, Texas. And to make ends meet, she had to get a job, and she got a job as a bank teller with an MBA in finance. And she did all that to support this career, and I wouldn't be here today without her. And I promised her a life less ordinary as we travel the country, and we become a bit nomadic in this profession. But she's been my rock, and I'd, again, I'd be remiss without thanking her, my hero, my mom, and then all the high school coaches and junior high coaches that have helped mold me. So thank you very much.
All right, let's take a quick time out. That was Tom Herman, the Ohio State offensive coordinator. We've got three coaches to hear from yet. We'll take a quick time out, come back, and we will do that. Stay tuned. It's the Broyles Award on the Buzz Radio Network. It's a special edition of The Zone here at the Marriott in downtown Little Rock.
So blessed. After that, my wife, Layla, who wasn't able to be here, and what she has done with our three wonderful children, I want to thank her. And my sister came in her place. Heidi, thank you for coming. And I'm supposed to say younger sister, right? Last night at dinner. A younger sister, so when they asked her last night, they said, well, you were here when you were two at Arkansas. What'd you think about it? I said, best year of my life when I was here. And then I started to say her age, and then I had to realize that she wasn't born yet. So she wasn't born. She's never been here in Arkansas. You were wrong on that. But I'd like to also thank the head coaches that I've had that have been a part of my life and have given me opportunities, starting with Sonny Lubick, giving me my first job at Colorado State, and then Tom Coughlin and Pete Carroll for taking a chance on me, continuing to move me up and giving me more roles, and then Nick Saban last. But Coach Saban really, to me, took a chance on me when a lot of people wouldn't do it. And has been phenomenal to me throughout the entire year. I got asked last night, like I do everywhere, you know, when he's following me up and down the sidelines behind me, you know, right about here. Oh gosh, we're on TV. Can you start, get that part out? This is why he doesn't let me talk to the media. But no, they say, what is he saying when he's going up and down the sidelines right here behind you? I said, he's just saying, hey Lane, I love you so much. Thank you so much for coming here. Can you please stop throwing the ball so much and just run it a few more times, please? But no, what an honor to be here. Thank the Rotary Club. Thank Delta Dental for having us. Last night, an amazing dinner, and just to be around Coach Broyles. This morning, to have breakfast with him, my dad had talked so much about him, about being here at Arkansas, about what a legend he was, and it's just really amazing, and puts things in perspective to me about myself as a coach and my opportunity to affect so many kids throughout my career, to hear his stories at almost 90 years old. I said, shoot, he's remembering stuff from 50 years ago that I don't remember that way from 50 minutes ago. And he's nailing games this morning about exactly where the ball was and who they were playing. And then one of the coaches, I won't say who it was, asked about, well, tell us about that great game. And they seemed to forget that he lost that game. So he decided to not answer the question very well and said, I've never watched the film of the game, and I don't remember the game at all. So I won't say which guy did that. But once again, I'd like to thank you, and I'd like to be the first to congratulate Scott Frost after watching all those stats that you've had and how amazing you guys were this year. I'm sure that you've already won the award, so the rest of us will just kind of take off. But thanks again for having me. What an honor to be here. Thank you to the committee for even allowing me to be a finalist. It is very special. So thanks again for coming. Thanks for being here. And have a great day. Thanks.
All right, that was Lane Kiffin. We are here at the Broyles Award, and we'll go back inside here in just a moment. Steve Sullivan here with me. Pat Bradley is in there watching, I guess, hoping to catch a glimpse of Lane Kiffin's wife, who didn't make it, but his sister apparently is quite attractive. I haven't seen Heidi.
Didn't see her up close.
Sully, great job on the intros, buddy, as always.
Oh, it's easy with all the accomplishments these guys have.
This is an impressive group. Somebody had said, I think it was Grant Taffet, said this is the best group they've ever had. Pretty easy to argue that.
If you had to pick a winner out of the, you know, you visited with them, looked at the accomplishments, who would you go with?
I would go with Herman, I think, just because of the three quarterback situation. Now, that was after last week, and I'm not sure how many of the votes or how much of the decision-making
was
done.
No, it was after last week.
Okay, well, then I think for sure, I think that's a no-brainer for me. I think it's incredible what they've done there, and I don't even like Ohio State, but
What about TCU, though? You go a complete different style of offense. You start from ground zero with a quarterback last year who threw 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He throws 30 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
You averaged 25 points last year. You're averaging 47 this year.
What have you done for me lately? No, I'm kidding.
How about the Hall of Fame over there looking good?
Hey, big guys. Well, you know how we do it, Sully.
Yeah, we got clothing advice from Sinclair. They said the old pocket squares are in, so look at him. He's ahead of the curve there. He's been reading my memos.
You got any pocket squares?
No, I haven't gone there yet. I figure the sports guy, I'm up so little that the clothing's not all that important.
Yeah, well, it's basically just a glorified Mickey.
It says ballpark entrance
ball
is pocket square.
Where did you get that?
Greenhouse.
Is that right?
It was the only one, because really all that matters is the tip of the, you know,
the little
outline.
Edging. Yeah, that's fancy.
So. I didn't know they made them with sayings.
Oh, Sully. You'd be very surprised what they're doing. Pocket square business is just through the roof
booming.
These days.
Booming.
Matty T, we still got to take one more time out, don't we?
That's it. No, we don't.
Oh, we're done?
You did such a good job of managing the time today, Justin. I just want to pat you on the back.
Matty T's brilliant during that football season. Just brilliant.
He's a genius. The guy's fantastic.
Has he reviewed the movie St. Vincent? Great movie.
He loved it.
I loved that movie. One of my best picks of the year.
Is it based on the life of a St. Bernard?
Oh, you.
What's it about?
That's the one with Bill Murray.
Hospital.
Where he, you
it's
know,
about a degenerate babysitter with a kind heart and has a great backstory. And St. Vincent, that's kind of the hint there.
Okay.
The saints are not always perfect. And this guy was a great example of this kid.
Yeah. Oh, let's go to Sully's movie reviews. I like
it. I
love
it.
Everyone has grown up in Northeast like Pat has a degenerate relative who has a very kind heart that you're kind of drawn to.
Sully, I'm trying to find one of my relatives who ain't a degenerate. Pat can tell you.
What's questionable? I don't know if I'd let him be my babysitter, though. That's the only thing.
Well, you go to the racetrack.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Hey, well, learn odds.
You put it that way. That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, Sully was raised at a dog track. It's brought his greyhound down here to lead the pack
was
in Southland.
Was his name Lightning?
Keen Twister.
I don't know what the world that means.
Like Keen, New Hampshire?
I don't know how they got the name.
You didn't name it?
They've got No. We bought the dog after it beat up another dog. It's a sordid story.
Okay.
We can only buy
Did he end up in a rendering plant?
We can only buy a discount dog.
Okay.
It's the greatest story of all time. It really is. My favorite.
Pierre wasn't that fast, or Pierre would have been at the Grand Track. No. Not the fact that he's a French poodle, so it happens. All right, let's go inside. Doug Meacham being introduced, the Texas Christian offensive coordinator. Sully's a big fan. He played for Pat Jones, we found out.
Coached at Henderson State.
Did he really?
Yes.
What
early
position?
In his career for Patrick Nix.
He was a quarterback coach?
Offensive coordinator. I think he was the guy that went from the ground up. I mean, this guy's been at he's been mowing lawns, he said, and selling tickets.
Tom Herman played D3 football. He's my guy. If you're just tuning in, that's Doug Meacham coming up here from Texas Christian, or if you don't recognize the fight song.
Okay, first of all, I want to clarify something. I didn't block very much at all for those two running backs. I just kind of knew the snap count. I got out of the way. All right. And secondly, it's kind of embarrassing. In fact, I kind of keep it a secret that I played offensive line. I usually let the person guess what I played, and I disagree with them. Okay, because I know looking at me right now, Coach Jones is probably embarrassed at how I look, because I don't look like an offensive lineman at all. So I understand. Just wanted to start off with saying thank you very much for the selection committee, for Delta Dental, also the Rotary Club of Little Rock. Coach Rules, everybody involved, the support staff that puts this together, the people that's been with us the last 24 hours have done a phenomenal job being with us and taking care of us and pointing us in the right direction, because we are football coaches. We get lost real easy, just like the taxi cab scenario. But also want to thank my wife, Kendall. She's the rock of the family, just like we had talked about earlier with some of the other coaches. She allows me to go to the office every day and be a middle-aged adolescent and hang out and have fun with a bunch of kids while she's working, taking the kids to school, fixing lunches, doctor, practices. You know, we have two boys at home that both play sports. He's on the road. In fact, she drives my dealer car. Don't tell anybody, okay? But I have to turn that thing in really, really quick. Every 5,000 miles, it doesn't take long to do it. So, but she does an unbelievable job. Thank you for everything you do to allow us to do this. My kids, you know, and it's so much fun and so gratifying to me to have my children go through this with us and to watch them grow and be at the games and watch your son. You know, I have an eighth grade son that comes out in pre-practice and plays catch in front of the student body, and they're cheering for him. I mean, it just, those are the memories you look back on in life, and for him and myself, that you'll cherish forever. When you're in the fourth quarter of your life and you're looking back, those are the type of things that you remember, and this profession allows you to have the ability to enjoy those moments. So I appreciate my children for keeping me grounded, and the next thing is just, you know, in terms of me personally, my last year we played in the Sun Bowl. I had no idea what I was going to do with myself occupationally. It was me and my roommate, Robert Nunn, who is now the defensive line coach for the Giants, were sitting in the hotel bar. And Glenn Wolf walks up. He's a head coach at Northeastern Oklahoma Junior College in Miami, Oklahoma. And we're sitting there talking. And he said, hey, you two guys, you want to come out and be coaches, grad assistant coaches at NEO? We hadn't even thought about it. We kind of looked at each other and went, yeah, why not? Sounds like a heck of a deal. What do we got? You know, free place to live, food. Heck yeah, let's keep the scholarship thing going, you know. So we did that. So I'm excited. I'm very excited. I've made my choice. I'm going to be a ball coach. Now I know what I'm going to do. I cannot wait to tell Coach Jones because, you know, he's been the guy there for me as a player and respected everything he said, his opinion. So I go to Coach Jones. I say, Coach, I know what I'm going to do with myself. I want to tell you. I want your advice. He goes, what is it, Meech? I said, well, I'm going to be a football coach, and I'm expecting this, you know, pep rally in his office, this, oh, my gosh. And that's not what I got at all. I got, are you sure that's what you want to do with your life? And there were times along the way I understood exactly what you meant, Coach. I promise you, because coaching some of the places I did, like Coach Herman mentioned, it was pretty lean at times. You know, there's a lot of times when that pizza on the 28th of the month, not sure if that check was going to quite make it, you know. So there was tough times in there along the way, Georgia Military College. And I remember my parents, you know, as soon as I got out of college, before Georgia Military, I was a grad assistant coach. And my parents, no one in my family played sports. My dad, my mom, brother, sister, nobody. They had no idea kind of what was going on in terms of what I did for a living or what I was going to do. And, of course, as soon as I graduated from college, my dad's like, okay, it's time to get a job. Get off my insurance. All right, let's go. Get a job. So I said, Dad, there's this thing called grad assistant coach that basically makes nothing that you have to do to start this thing off. He didn't get it. Did it 3 years. Every day it was like, oh, my gosh, get a job. So I had to live through that and explain every day what the process was. So I get a job at GMC, Georgia Military College, first full-time job. And I remember thinking, man, I got a degree. That's why, you know, I have an opportunity to do this because I have a degree in college. And the first thing I do out of the box is lay sod for 2 days. And I thought, well, I could have done this without college. You know, and I'm sitting here killing myself laying sod. Equipment manager. In fact, my wife helped me put helmet decals on the helmets at one point. She was the only one that helped me, and I bought a case of beer, and then everybody wanted to help me. So there's all kinds of people in there. But just going through that, driving buses, watering fields, mowing fields, handing out gear, film coach, recruiting coordinator, all the things you do at the lower level, really throughout my career and, you know, particularly in the last few years, looking back on those moments, I cherish every bit of it because it's helped me along the way be grateful for the opportunity I have now at TCU and the opportunity I've had at Oklahoma State and Houston and some of the other places I've been. And the ability to be around some of the people I've been around, you know, Boone Pickens, been around Dana Holgorsen, Mike Leach, Larry Fedora, a lot of guys, Todd Monken, that's kind of helped develop me in terms of what my philosophies are mentally, offensively, and my philosophies are as a coach, and Coach Jones as well. And then finally to get a call from TCU and get an opportunity there, and really interesting combination of a defensive school and Coach Patterson. And I made sure, I said, now you know what I am. I want to make sure, you know, we throw the football. This is what we're going to do. And he was all in. And so it was really interesting integrating from a defensive school, integrating an offensive philosophy that was more pass oriented, and how we developed the practice routine and how we did it was really fun. With him and Chris Delaconte, the athletic director. Those guys have been phenomenal to me, and I appreciate the opportunity. And just very grateful. And I just thank you for the opportunity to stand up here in front of you. And That's it. Thank you.
Of our five finalists, and this is our last finalist of the day, of our five finalists, we have four offensive coordinators and one defensive coordinator. I ask you, which is the guy over here that looks like the defensive coordinator? I think it's pretty obvious, Coach Steck. As a former Marine, Dave Steckel looks the part of a linebacker coach and defensive coordinator, and his defenses play with a fire and attacking mentality of their leader. This is Coach Steckel's 14th season with Missouri. Carried 6 years, 6 years as the defensive coordinator at Missouri. But this year may have been his best, because if anybody knows, Razorback fans know, it's because of the defense of Missouri that they were able to go back to Atlanta for a second consecutive season. Of course, this is his second stint with Gary Pinkel. He was also with Gary at Toledo. But this is the thing I love about Dave Steckel. He's also coached at a high school program. He also coached at a Division III school. So he can appreciate the role of an assistant coach at every level. He was even a graduate assistant under Lou Holtz at Minnesota. He's also considered one of the best recruiters in the nation. He signed a guy out of Texas named Chase Daniel that ended up being a Heisman Trophy candidate 1 year at Missouri. And as I mentioned earlier, he served our country in the Marine Corps from 1975 to 1978.
Hey, just quick programming note here, and we've kind of been through this before. Usually they're done by one in an ideal situation. We're going to hang until the top of the hour and into the top of the hour, so for those of you who are interested in the announcement of the Broyles Award winner, I know I am. Pat, are you interested?
Oh, I cannot wait. That's why I came here today. Bob got all dressed up.
Yeah, so we're going to hang with it through the top of the hour. Hopefully we'll be off the air before overtime starts at 6 after. That could be quite a little train wreck we got cooking up there. But I'm going to bet my lucky – I'm going to hope to my lucky stars here that we get it done. We have exactly 10 minutes before they open their mics for overtime, but we'll see how it shakes out. The only person left to be introduced, of course, is the defensive coordinator from the University of Missouri. We've heard from everybody else, so we'll take this. And then I'm sure a quick thank you from Coach Broyles, and we will have the winner. So hopefully Coach Steck only goes a couple of minutes. I heard him talking earlier. He didn't seem like the most talkative guy, so I'm going to guess that he keeps it reasonably short. Tomorrow we're back in the Fury Electric studio, and we'll get ready for the rest of the week, and we'll have more on the winner, I'm sure, when we join you tomorrow. And we'll probably dump out of this as soon as the announcement's made. So just stay with us here. We're going to hear from Dave Steckel, the University of Missouri defensive coordinator. And, of course, Missouri getting ready to play a high-profile bowl game as well, one of the many SEC schools. Minnesota, Missouri, maybe one of the best bowl games yet. That's an 11:30 start, early start on New Year's Day. So I'll be up early, having my breakfast and watching a little bit of Missouri and Minnesota.
Early, buddy.
11:30 on New Year's Day. Hmm. I'm only going to be out until Barrett Baber quits playing. So it'll be good. What do you do for New Year's in Boston?
Oh, for New Year's, I'm a kind of guy. I don't like to go in. I like to have a nice house party. I have everybody you care about just get together and
I love a
themselves.
House party. Well, you know what? Sorry, Matty T and I can't make it to Boston for New Year's, but you can be with everybody else that you care about.
I've still got my Boston shot glass, though, Pat.
Matty T, you're not going, are you? Because, I mean, if Matty T's going to be there, I'm going to be hurt.
I wasn't invited, so.
No. Oh, that's not
me. Me neither. Here's here's Dave Steckel.
I'm very, very humbled and honored to be here. And just like the other coaches have said, I'm only standing here because I have some really good players. You know, they play really hard for me. We actually have a love-hate relationship. You know, I love them and they hate me, but it kind of works out in the big picture of life. I'd first like to take the opportunity, Coach Broyles, to be here with you, and to have my name even associated in the same sentence as yours is unbelievably humbling. To the other finalists, you know, it's great. I think Lane, I got to actually address Lane because, one, I think that was very respectful of you that you kept Herm's name out of the story. But I'm really disappointed that you didn't listen to Coach Saban when he was saying run the ball. Now, the one distinction I can tell you of why you could probably see I'm the defensive coordinator, even though David wants to think I'm a mean, honorary guy. Do you notice these really sharp, handsome, good-looking offensive coordinators? They don't have the gray hair because they don't have to defend themselves. I got to thank God also because, you know, Coach Broyles said today at that great little breakfast we had with just the coaches and him that he lived a charmed life. And to know my background and where I came from, wow, have I been blessed. First, I got blessed with a wife, Mary Beth, who I don't want to lose on it because we've been married for a long time, and my players think that they got to put up with me. I said, you got to be as tough as Mary Beth. She's put up with me for 28 years. She's tough. And we started off on this journey, and, you know, we've really been blessed to be in Missouri for 14 years because before that, I had a roadmap that went from high school to Division III to 1AA to 1A, back to 1AA, and she followed me every step of the way, so I'm very appreciative of that. You know, we started off at such a low-level pay grade. Her dad and her brother, actually, her brother was a junior in high school. It's a true story. And we were kind of living in a basement of this place. And they came to watch one of our games. So they left, and I came home from work that day, and there was a $5 bill on our counter. Well, I just found out this past summer on a little summer vacation that Joey left it there because he felt so bad that we were so poor. And you make a lot of sacrifices in this business, and I couldn't have made them without my wife, so thank you. Lastly, to tell a little bit about myself, when I started this journey, when I got done with high school football, I went to the Marine Corps. And trust me, I have such a big heart of gold for our military and service for what they do. But the truth is, I went to the military because I was an idiot. And again, after the Marine Corps, I got blessed to be able to go to Kutztown. You know, Dave didn't say I went to Kutztown because all these other guys played at all these great places, and they don't even know where Kutztown is. But Herm played at a small school also. But Herm, went, his school was so small, they can't spell Kutztown. Okay? And our claim to fame, I guess, was Andre Reed made the Hall of Fame this year. So it gave Kutztown a little ink. But I went to that Marine Corps and went to Kutztown and started this unbelievable journey that has led me up here that I'm still trying to figure out why I'm standing up here, to be quite frank with you. But I'm humbled. I'm honored. I can't thank Delta Dental, Little Rock Rotary. I really appreciate you having me here. Tom and Lori took care of us as our hosts. And the last person I really like to thank is Gary Pinkel because, you know, coaches get hired. They get fired. Oh, wait a minute. Those guys haven't been fired. But I've been fired. And Gary Pinkel took. See that, Lane? We have a lot in common. Point well made. But Gary Pinkel, the head football coach at Missouri, took me off the street. I was with him at Toledo. I went to Rutgers because I'm an East Coast guy and was chasing that dream. And I got fired. And Gary Pinkel took me back off the street. That's a loyal man. It's a man I owe an awful lot to for the success and the opportunity I have to be a defensive coordinator. So I'll stop rambling. I wish I had some more jokes to be able to abuse the candidates up here. Coach Darnduzzi, thanks for having a defensive guy here with me. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, everybody.
How about a round of applause for outstanding class this year? I'm the guy that gets to count all the votes from the selection committee. It was a difficult choice because all of these guys did amazing things within their own team. But only one winner can be named. And speaking of charmed life, I think we are blessed that we have a chance to continue to be here every year and honor one of the greatest folks in the history of our state. Let's please give a welcome as he announces our winner, Frank Broyles, everybody.
Thank you. I want to thank, I want to thank David for all the work he's done to put this together, to honor the assistant coaches. He came to me with this idea many years ago, and I said, David, that's one of the wonderful things we can do is honor the assistant coaches to give them a national award. We didn't have a national award for an assistant coach, just regional awards. And so he started this, and you can see by the attendance every year, the acceptance of the Coaching Association and all. We're so proud of David. Let's give him a hand. Now, I'm not delaying, I'm sorry, but I had to say that. Thank you. Our winner is Tom Herman of Ohio State.
All right, there you go. That is Tom Herman of Ohio State University. So we had a few people rolling out now after the announcement was made. So thanks for hanging with us, and that's that for the Burroughs Award. PB, good work. We join.
Thank you, buddy.
I think we're enjoying overtime live and in person here.
Hey, guys.
So let's do it. Matty T, if you're still back there, you can take it, babe. If we can. I'm not sure what we're going to do here. This is kind of uncharted. Not sure how we're going
to
do this.
Tom Herman, certainly, what he had to deal with this year, Braxton Miller goes down, JT Barrett goes down, and they still put up, what was it, 59-0 against Wisconsin. Certainly, congratulations to him, but to everybody. Appreciate everyone stopped by. Lane Kiffin, if you missed that interview, that was, other than Pat Narduzzi, Michigan State's winner from last year, the defensive coordinator, Lane Kiffin was the only coach to stop by with us here in the zone, and you can hear that audio from the audio gallery, 1037thebuzz.com. Click on audio gallery, and you'll have that. Can hear that from him. We'll take it back to the studio. It's overtime.